Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
Well, we do want to welcome you to our podcast. This is episode number 60. Glad you've joined us.
We are so glad you've joined us. I love that we're talking about adult children today.
Ooh.
Because some of us have adult children, but a lot of us are adult children as well. So you're really going to, I just feel like there's going to be a real dynamic of new understanding and mercy as we get to be the most loving parents to our adult children, mm-hmm. but we also get to be the most loving sons and daughters of our mm-hmm. senior parents.
Yeah. Well, in our line of work, you know, being marriage and family mentors and having children in here,
yeah,
you know, young and old.
Yes.
Some really old, but, you know, some younger, but typically what you're dealing with so often are family dynamics, things mm-hmm. that have taken place, you know, over the past.
Don't you love that, you guys? Yeah. Come on, let's just talk
we
about that.
We all got
Do
family
you
dynamics.
Have ever experienced family mm-hmm. dynamics?
Yeah.
It's like a nice way of saying, oh my gosh, my family's crazy.
No.
Well, everyone feels like we have a little bit of like, oh, there's nothing perfect here.
Right.
But I think that we can definitely be loving. And how we express love and how love lands
right.
are very important yeah. questions.
And with just the way our world is right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, under the, you know, the pressures of COVID-19 in this year of 2020, you know, there's just, it feels as though people are really seeking certainty.
Yes.
And
that's
trying,
good, Bob.
Trying to, you know, give me some kind of guarantee of the future. And we find ourselves, you know, kind of being isolated or restricted to home, or you have a limited group of people that you're visiting and spending time with.
Yeah.
And I think for many of them, it's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's moms and dads together, and mm-hmm. it's parents and children and your in-laws, your outlaws, you know, it typically, at least it has been in our little world,
yeah.
Family.
Mm-hmm. And whatever particular challenge you have, whether it's one of those things or whether you're all alone and you're like, man, I wish I could have some time with a small group.
With somebody.
Like, yeah. The point is that we all are communicating somewhere with somebody. And
yeah.
and how we do that, how we express love is so important. Bob, I wanted to tell you something that happened to me this week.
Okay.
Last week's episode, we talked about fighting fire with fire. Remember about the opposites responding
yeah,
in that opposite mm-hmm. spirit. If you missed that episode, you know, we've gotten a lot of great response that, anyway, and I just happened to be reading in my Passion Translation of Proverbs after we did the blog and after we released the blog or the article that goes with it. Bob, listen to this. It says word for word, it takes fuel to have a fire. A fire dies down when you run out of fuel. So quarrels disappear when the destruction ends. Add fuel to the fire and the blaze goes on. Add an argumentative man to the mix and you'll just keep the strife alive. Isn't that like apropos? That was...
Yeah.
Like word for word.
So good.
Yeah, the wisdom that God has for us for family dynamics in every way
mm-hmm.
is available to us.
Right.
And turning up the truth and just hearing those kind of things.
Yeah.
I just thought, wow, that was all about fire with fire.
But will I be the one that brings the fuel to the flame?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you do is what you do, but what I do, you know, I have responsibility for that.
Yes, exactly.
So, Audrey, why the family dynamics? Why heading down mm-hmm. this, you know, direction, you know, with regards to today's podcast?
Well, first of all, we've received questions and I've just gathered a bunch of them together that had to do with adult children. And they're from, you know, different states, different provinces, Canada. We've received these questions. I could tell you their names, but you know what? I just don't think I should, and I don't want to, because mm-hmm. that part isn't as important, because, but I want to address what people are asking. And you guys, we really love you guys. You're like our people, and we want to answer the questions that you're really longing to hear. And adult kids and being an adult kid is some of the stuff that just covers a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. When you brought this up and this was something you wanted to talk about, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, this is really vast. And so I think we'll just kind of, you know, touch in different areas, but answer some, you know, very specific scenarios.
That's a great idea, Bob.
And be able to give some guideline. I think that'll be applicable to all.
Yeah. I want to talk about the word anxiety. It's a big word in our culture. It's a big word in our families.
Yeah.
Anxiety is a real thing, and you don't know what a panic attack feels like unless you've had one. And so we really want to just understand that whenever there's anxiety, it usually comes from guessing and from the unknown. And I find that that's sort of an overarching thing with adult kids, is that we're doing a lot of guessing. We're wondering.
Well, what precedes, you know, moving into guessing is where there's been some form of an expectation. You know, I thought, you know, we were going to do this, or I thought they would respond this way, mm-hmm. and they reacted in a totally another way. And so, again, you can throw yourself into this land of guessing, mm-hmm. where typically you want to answer the question, why?
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
And it usually
why
turns into judgment
that?
And reactions, and it just, it takes you down a road and a path that you don't want to go. So I just wanted to address that word anxiety. Yes, it's real. And sometimes we just love our kids so much, and that's where that anxiety comes in. I know for myself, my life dream was to be a mom. You know, I became a mom when I was 21. And I think of 4 children and 34 years later, that life dream hasn't changed. Like, think about it, Bob. I wanted to be a mom when I was 21, but here I am, so much older, but the dream is the same. And my dream was, I want my children to feel safe and extremely loved by me. That was when they were 2 years old and when they're 34 years old. You know, I want my kids to feel safe, secure in my love, that mm-hmm. I'm going to love them no matter what. They can, mm-hmm. they're always safe with me, and I want them to feel really loved. So even though the seasons are different and the amount of involvement is different, the dream is the same. And I thought about that today. I thought, my dream hasn't changed, because when it comes to parents and kids, it's not a relationship where you can just break up. You only have one mom. You only have those amount of kids. You can't just say, I'd rather have those kids, or I'd have rather have that mom or dad. We're kind of, I don't want to use the
family.
Word. I know, and I was going to use this word stuck. You're kind of stuck with, you can really be amazing with who you've been given.
But you can also influence the atmosphere. You know,
that is so true.
You're the one that can bring about change. If one person changes, that being you, the relationship changes. So I do want to bring up, because for us, there's probably 2 things that we've loved most in life. Number one is being married.
Yeah.
And then number 2 is having children.
Oh my gosh.
You know, just simply being family.
Yes.
And then I wanted to say this, just in context for us as we sit recording this podcast. Yesterday was Audrey and I's 37th yes-iversary.
Oh my gosh.
So a yes-iversary is the day that I proposed and she said yes.
Yep, July 26th.
And so I want to bring that story up because it has to do with family dynamics.
It does, and parents.
Family dynamics and parents.
You are calling me on my stuff right now, Bob. No.
But what happened was I had it all planned out and I was going to take Audrey out to the finest steakhouse in town.
Right.
And so I said.
And you had your eyes. I suspected you might be asking me to marry you because your eyes had a look in them.
A bit of a glaze.
I have something in my pocket I need to give to you. Should have been a little more aware.
Yes, that would have been nice.
Yes.
That, or I should have decided to do it another night. But so we went.
It was a Wednesday night.
We were going to go out for this really fine, you know, steak dinner together midweek.
Yes.
And
1983.
And I'm like, hey, you know, let's go out. Let's do a nice dinner together. She's like, yeah. How about, you know what? I'm going to invite my mom and dad. And I'm like, oh.
Oh,
and I, I didn't know what to say. It was just like, no, I don't want them to come along
to our engagement.
It was so anyway. The ring was actually in your purse and you didn't even know it.
Okay.
But anyhow, later that evening, you know, I proposed, but
well, yes, while we were alone.
Yes, your parents came to our engagement dinner.
Yes, so. Yes, exactly. He didn't actually ask me during that night, but that is apropos for tonight.
No, but
for today, because talking about adults, there's dynamics because I always want to include my parents.
Always.
Yeah. And that hasn't changed either. No. I usually want to involve my parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, instinct is real. Like I think of even that dream of having my own children. This dream for me, I don't know about you who are listening, but it's more powerful than any financial goals I have or to have a certain kind of home or lifestyle, the normal things we dream about, or to have a ministry or meaning. The depth of my desires is, this is really final. Like the most important to me other than God is I'll sacrifice for my kids. I'll fight for them. And that's a lot of power and passion and emotion. Like this is me at the core. Is I'm a mom. Like I'm a mama bear.
Yeah.
Like it's enough passion, power, and emotion to get dangerous because that is all fuel to move me. So I've got to make sure I'm on the right path or my kids could feel overwhelmed because they're adults now. They're living their own life. And if I've got this much passion and emotion, if I don't put that in the right place, it's going to turn into manipulation and control and I want something from you. I'm just saying that this is how it works.
Yeah, those tendencies
and these are
can
the
happen.
Dangers
sure.
And these are the tendencies. Yeah. So it's interesting. I just saw just last night I was on a writing goal and our son, Chris, he lives in Portland now, him and his girlfriend called me and it ended up being a 2-hour FaceTime conversation. They ate dinner with me. I just sat and visited with me. And I was just the feeling of honor that that relationship is thriving like that, where they would include me in their night for a couple hours with laughter and joy and meaningful conversation. Mm-hmm. That to me, Bob, was dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that continues, you know, being a parent, having adult children, is that the relationship that we have with our adult children is unique.
Yeah.
You know, it's different, you with them and me with them and us. And so make sure that you develop your own personal relationship with your children, that you just don't, you know, ride the coattails of the other. And so like last night, I heard, you know, you're in the office, you know, chatting with them. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to invade that space.
Although you would have
I'm
been
gonna
welcome.
I'm going to let you have it. Oh, I could have.
Yes.
But it would have changed
the dynamic. Yeah.
And so you got to let that happen.
You gave me that space to just be a mom for a night.
Yeah. And I mean,
that was really
being the mom
you
that
Bob.
You are, you do. You have just an exceptional relationship, unique with every one of the children.
They're all so different. And I love how you haven't just gone by default saying, well, Audrey's close to the kids, so I'll just be around when it's vacations or a special dinner or something. But I really know that you have your own relationship, texting them, reaching out to them. And I know that that's with intention. And that's part of your dream is to be that dad.
Yeah.
Going on those hiking trips with them and all the things that you
but
do.
But I am a dad.
You are.
I'm not a mom.
There is a difference.
And there is a difference.
Apparently, there is a difference. I hope you guys are laughing with us because this adult kids thing becomes a husband and wife dynamic as well as you are hearing and reading between the lines.
Okay, so
let me just, I started to write out, Bob, the challenge between this children-parent relationship because I have had them. You might think, oh, that's so nice for you, Audrey. And I'm thinking, you have no idea what I have done to invest in this as far as planting the kind of seeds into this garden of our relationship that are going to reap the kind of life that I want with my kids. Because as the child, so as the adult child, you, and this is all of us, I'm still an adult kid, both all of our parents are still alive. Bob and I have all of our parents. But as the kid, you want two things. Number one, be independent. There is a desire to break free and be independent from your parents as an adult. You want to know that you have your own dreams, your own goals, your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And And so when any kid feels manipulated or controlled or feels guilty or there's passive aggressive stuff going on, we react as kids. And we can do kind of go both directions. We could either start being mean and just saying, you know what? I don't want a relationship with you. We need a boundary. You're too involved in my life. Or we can just be aggressive, or we can reject and ignore our parents when we're not feeling like we have that independence that we desire. So I just want to name what it is that kids do like and need to feel independent. And that's a good thing. And that's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And so are you referencing children in the home? Are you referencing adult children?
I was addressing I'm trying to figure out
where you're at.
I was thinking about adult children, to leave and cleave. Like you leave your mom and dad and you cleave to your wife or your new family and develop a new culture.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that's important. And of course you want them to emulate, you know, the culture that you've created. You know, you want them to, you know, continue on, you know, with those traditions and even values that you share.
Mm-hmm.
But also they are testing the boundaries. You know, they want to make the decisions, you know, for themselves. And sometimes I think, you know, parents can get a little hurt when they don't make adult choices that you would make. Did I say that right?
Yes, you absolutely did. And so this is where the dynamic comes in.
And this is where the dynamic comes in. And I bring that up because I'm one of them adults.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, really
we
personally
would not
hurt.
Yes.
You know, because I felt like my children could have made better choices for themselves that would more align with my values.
Yes. And honor their own traditions.
Yes. So
I think a lot of people can relate to that right now. Those of you are listening,
so
thinking, man,
couple,
my kids aren't exactly like how we were.
Right. And so there's a couple things that I want to touch on here. And number one is as a parent, you know, we all, I believe, did our best.
Yeah.
We really tried.
Yes.
You know, but we also could have done better. Or
totally.
The thing is neither of us, we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I can look back and it's just like, boy, I would sure like to do that different. You know, I wish I was a little softer, you know, in those years. There's a lot of things. And
I can look back and say, I wish I would have had more expectations for my kids, because I go on that opposite spectrum of maybe I should have had more higher standards for certain things in my kids.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Oh my gosh. Okay. If you guys could see the look that Bob just gave me. Oh,
I would have appreciated a little bit of support. Okay, moving on. Well, I just want to say to you, okay?
Keeping it real.
Let's be compassionate.
Yeah.
If your kids are reactive.
Yes.
Because sometimes when you're sensing or feeling a little bit of pushback, really what they may be doing is just channeling their inner child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though your child is now an adult, they're still your child.
That's
and when
really
you're
good.
Working through issues of the past, you're likely interacting with a younger part of them that can be emotionally reactive. And so
that's really good.
You're wondering, you know, why is all this pushback coming? Why
are they acting like a 2-year-old?
Why are they so reactive?
Yeah.
And it's important to really hold empathy for your adult child.
Yes.
Because if they're struggling to understand your side of things in the past, but what they're truly doing is interacting with the hurt that's within them. And so I can hear men, you know, that sit here in my office and they're just like, you know, why doesn't my child respect
me? Why doesn't my teenager respect me?
You know, why wouldn't they respect me?
Yes.
You know, and you take their choices extremely personal and you take it as though it's against you. But really what they're doing is they are struggling through an emotional wound, you know, that occurred, and more than likely in understanding neurological pathways of the brain, that there, you know, these emotional memories, you know, being stored in that right hemisphere, but then they're walking through them again. They're feeling them again, and they're likely engaging them as though You know, it's as though it happened yesterday. And these are old feelings that they may have had of fight or flight. And so you're feeling that resistance and that pushback. And it's and as a parent, sometimes you take it so personal. But behind that is a child that is hurt.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of, go ahead. Yeah, well, what I when you're feeling the pushback, mm-hmm. you know, again, kind of referencing last week's podcast, you know, responding in the opposite spirit.
Right.
And it's and you don't respond with force
right.
and determination and trying to justify your position, but can you look behind the resistance?
Mm-hmm.
And can you possibly see someone who has been hurt?
I'm thinking of a, thank you, because I was just thinking specifically of a couple that was here a few weeks ago. They came into Phoenix for a three-day intensive. And, you know, very typically there's anger involved when people come for a couple help. But we all know that anger is a secondary emotion. There's something, there's a hurt or a pain or a fear that's beyond that anger. And that's what's fueling the anger. But this one couple, the mom was like, I just wish that he wouldn't yell at the kids and devalue, just almost they feel so scared of him. And that's not the family I dreamed of. I didn't dream for my kids to be scared of their dad. And he's going, yes. And so the first thing we had to do is where is the key of where does this anger come from? Because he wants to be a great dad, and he is a great dad.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be angry at his kids.
Yeah, but again, you're looking for that trigger.
What is the trigger? What? Sure. And we were digging through, and finally said, you know what? It's when they disrespect me. It just, you know, and we won't get into the details right. of why that was, but that was a very particular trigger.
But to use that word disrespect,
yeah,
what I find is that it means it has a different meaning to whomever's saying it.
Yes.
You know, like husbands say it about their wives. She doesn't respect me. Mm-hmm. My children, they don't respect me. My boss, they don't respect me. And it's just like, okay, give me context for this.
Yes. And I won't get into that because that'll take us down a trail I don't want to go because it has to do with his childhood wound, like Bob was just talking about. However, we got through that. And then he goes, okay, now I want to learn in a practical way, how do I love my teenagers when I feel disrespected? How do I now take this to like where the rubber meets the road? And I said, let's practice the conversation. So I said, okay, so they do something. Can you imagine your kid just did something disrespect you? Yep. So now I asked him, I said, how are you going to quote unquote handle that? He goes, well, with gentleness and love, I'm going to go up to them and I'm just going to nicely say what you did just now really hurt me. Now, that all sounds good and fine, but that is not going to help the situation. And I think this is where we want to bring clarity mm-hmm. of what's actually going to help you with your kids.
Yeah, I remember him actually using the words was, you know, what you just did was extremely disrespectful.
Yeah. And it really hurt my feelings.
And really hurt my feelings. You know.
It's like, well, what is the kid supposed to do with that? The kid has no idea how to navigate with that. So I said, okay, that's really nice. And I can hear your heart, but let's just completely pivot and switch this around. When your kid disrespects you, behind that disrespect, you've got a kid who is hurting in some way. Because they're reacting to something that's deeper than just what they're like. It's not just disrespect is a reaction, but behind that reaction, there's a hurt, there's a disappointment, there's a fear, there's some pain there. So what would happen? We asked him, if when they're disrespecting you, you stopped everything, you know, went to your teenager and said, "Wow, I can tell by the tone of your voice that you might be really hurting or something must be going on in your life that I don't know about. You know, is there anything you want to talk to me about? Is there anything I can do to support you or love you?" You know, I don't know. It depends on the relationship with the kid. But I mean, going to that place of, I want to reach your heart. I want to reach your pain. And I know the real you. And I know who God designed you to be and who you are. And I'm going to speak to that person rather than that person I'm frustrated with right now.
And again, it's almost as though rather than dealing with the headline,
Yeah.
You know,
the topical thing,
mm-hmm. you know, that's going, okay, where's the context of this?
Yes.
And again, you want to go behind, because what you truly want to do is you really want to connect.
Yeah.
So don't correct.
And maybe that kid was not feeling heard or not feeling one bit understood by his mom or dad. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's reacting in this disrespect, because he's not feeling like he has value or his voice has a value. Yeah.
And again, what we want to do is we want to raise, you know, really confident, you know, independent
kids
that are secure, able to make decisions. But when we lead, in our conversation to correct our kids or to correct their story, all of a sudden we've lost the opportunity to connect. Because
so
now
good,
we've
Bob.
Made it about right or wrong.
Yep.
And more than that, you've made it about yourself. So when you lead with correction over connection, you miss an opportunity to have your child truly feel heard. And so what you do is that, hey, oh, whoa, you know, don't disrespect me. And now you want to make yourself heard.
And then you try and say it in a nicer way. You really disrespected me.
Right.
It's still a correction. No. Yes.
No. So what you want to do is create an atmosphere that is safe, but you are authentically and sincerely pursuing them and inviting them into a conversation where they can be heard.
Yep. This is so cool, because it ties back right to where I was starting that conversation about 10, 15 minutes ago, as the two things that adult kids need. And as an adult kid, you want to feel and be independent and break through and be your own person separate from your parents. But the number two one, which you just segued to so well, Bob, is that they want, we, because I'm an adult kid, want to feel secure. There's a desire to feel secure. And that is so legit, because we were designed to feel secure in our parents' love. So that when we're having our worst day, we run home. When we need unconditional love, we go to our mom and dad, because that's where I'm going to get it. Like, I have that with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it doesn't matter what I would do, and my mom and dad would love me in my place, whatever that is, in my worst day or my best day. But if people don't have that feeling that they have their mom or dad to give them that unconditional love, it can turn into insecurity, sensitivity, and overreacting. And sometimes it happens when parents aren't not only not taking care of you, but they're not even, you're feeling responsible to take care of them. And that can feel confusing, because there's been a role reversal where it feels like, wow, my mom and dad aren't, maybe my mom isn't, I have one situation where their parents aren't mentally, you know, capacitated to take care of themselves. So now them, you know, as young married people have to be responsible to take care of their parents. And that's hard, because you feel like, wait, wasn't this the place where I'm supposed to feel secure? And wasn't this the place where I'm supposed to feel unconditionally loved? So anyway, that was my thing about the two things that kids need. Those are just, I came up with them. I'm sure there's many more, but that independence and the security.
Yeah, but just, you know, staying relevant to what, you know, people are asking, you know, right now. Another thing I think that what we have done, or what we do, you know, as parents with our children, is that we do create a culture.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we do.
That's something that I, you know, speak with, you know, young people about, you know, in premarital counseling. And that is, you know, you're going to leave your family and you're going to cleave to your husband or wife, and you're going to create your own culture.
Yeah.
And just recognize that you'll bring in, you know, some traditions and things that you've enjoyed of your childhood. But always remember that you're going to create your own, you know, family traditions. And so family traditions are real important, you know, whether that be dinners, you know, around the table. Audrey, those are probably some of my most fondest memories of, you know, coming into the culture of the Thiessen family.
Of my
family,
was
family dinners.
Yeah.
Also, something that we both shared were road trips, you know, holiday
I
celebrations.
I just had so many fun memories about camping.
And and for our children, something that you did is that you created really good nighttime rituals.
Yes.
And I can still remember, Robert's our youngest at 19 years old.
Right.
And I'd still remember him as a little boy. You'd put him to bed, but then eventually you would hear him, you know, either coming down the stairs or asking for it.
I know exactly what you're going to say. He says, I want a cold drink.
And he had to have his cold, but that was his good night ritual. I
almost forgot my cold drink.
But talking about, you know, parents and adult children is what you want to do. And I bring this up because you want to continue family traditions. Mm-hmm. You really do. I'm thinking of one of our regular listeners, Jeff and Jan.
Yeah.
During the COVID, they had a family dress up dinner.
Theme party.
But they all got dressed up and they danced, took a family photo. Yeah, they did a dance. But it was just them.
Yeah, dance party. But they did it. Eight of them, yeah.
And so family traditions are wonderful. And when you involve new members into the family, involve them into the old traditions while creating new ones.
Yeah, exactly. And I also wrote down four things that a parent needs from adult kids, because I want to know my needs, because then I can navigate them well. Because as a parent, for me, I want my adult children to, we all have these, it sounds like a swear word, but expectations. We have
No swear word.
Well, it feels like one, because like, oh my gosh, if I'm a mom and I have expectations, I am literally setting myself up for disappointment and then controlling my kids. Okay. I guess I have a real adversity to, I don't know if that's a word, but I don't want to be a controlling mom. I have a very strong desire not to control my kids. But if I have expectations, I'll have invisible subconscious disappointments.
Just let me say that you do have expectations.
I do.
Yes.
I absolutely do.
Even though you don't, you do.
I do.
Yes. Okay.
But when I'm disappointed.
But the key is make sure that they're expressed.
Yes.
Okay, because again, we don't want to throw people in the land of guessing.
Right.
So if you do have an expectation, just let it be known.
I do this with my own mom. I just love something that happened recently with my mom is that during COVID, she only sees us and then our kids, Dan and Janelle, like four people. So if we're all busy with business and doing things, she doesn't see very many people for a while. And
other than your dad.
Right, and they're getting along great.
They get along great.
But every once in a while, so we just had a beautiful conversation the other day, because she said, she called me, we were talking in the morning, I called her, and then she said, so what are your plans today? And I was like, well, I've got this appointment,
this
appointment.
We got this, appointment. And we got that.
Oh, yeah, so do you have any? And she was just sort of beating around the bush, trying to get some information about me, and finally it came out.
To you know, kind of.
Like almost checking up on me.
Is there space in there for me?
Yeah, but she wasn't saying that, but she was implying it. And I was having to answer all these detailed questions about my day. And all of a sudden, she just came down to the bottom line. And she says, you know what, Audrey? I've really got cabin fever. And can I just even see you for 15 minutes? Can we drop over for tea? And all of a sudden, I just melt. And I said, Mom,
of course
you can. Mom, please, no. You don't have to, you know, ask me about my day for 15 minutes. Just come over here for 15 minutes, you know? and we had a beautiful time playing cards with them. And we laughed. And
we love their company.
But we decided, I said, Mom, guess what? From now on, you just, because you're my mom, you have access to just text me two words, cabin fever. And I will make half hour in that day at least for you to come over and see my face, you know? So anyway, it's just being clear is being very kind. And sometimes we have to be a little more specific, but I find that most parents want their adults to respect them, to honor them, to follow those same values and traditions that we taught them as kids. And we want that for them. So when they don't, we have to kind of deal. We also want our adult kids to appreciate us and be thankful. And you know, when they don't, we have to deal. We also, as adult kids, want us to give us attention and some priority. And when they don't, we have to deal. And then the fourth one, we need our kids to have mercy on us, because, you know, we're human and we fall short. So we need that forgiveness from them. So I wrote all that just so that we have it written down, because I love my kids by being honest with myself about those hopes and dreams and expectations and agendas with my kids. I mean, everyone can just tell them that, like, just even the example of grandchildren, you know, you heard what kind of mom I was. I kind of want grandkids. Is that an agenda or is that an expectation or is that a dream or a hope? It's kind of all of
it's
the above.
It's just a desire.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no control over it.
Absolutely not. Except I...
Except what?
If I'm too specific with them, like if I start saying, so, you know, are you guys going to have kids or that kind of stuff? Or we then it's motivated by my fear that I won't have something. Mm. And whenever we're motivated by fear as a mom that either, you
people
know, my kids
feel
won't
control.
If I think, oh, my kid's not going to be successful. My kid won't make me look good as a parent or my child might not be safe. Might experience pain or disaster. It's going to result in that control. And Bob, that's what I wanted to mention is that when we have fear, we will automatically control. So dealing with our fear is really being loved by Jesus and gaining assurance by him because he's the only one that can love me perfectly so that I can completely have 100% acceptance, unconditional love for my kids. And I'm very grateful that when I am loved unconditionally by God, then I can give that to my kids and focus on the real them, not just the one that might be low functioning in the moment. So anyway, that was my personal with my mom, that story. And just speaking to you guys as our listeners, that when you experience love with God, it really is the answer to everything. Because when you're loved and filled up, then you don't have to have those expectations and agendas with your own kids.
Yeah. And if I could, you know, just make a closing remark, I think often...
Yeah.
Let me think. That wasn't proper. I have a lot of thoughts.
Yes.
Okay.
I love your thoughts.
There we go. I have a lot of thoughts, you know, towards my parents and towards my children. And for me, I have to take those thoughts and turn them into actions.
Mm.
And I have to be more intentional than you do.
Mm.
And so a lot of times I think we would like to have a closer relationship with others. And just remember that you are the one in that relationship that can do something.
Yeah. Don't wait for the other.
You're the one that can make the phone call, that you're the one that can send the text.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that can send an old picture.
Yeah.
You know, hey, remember when. You're
yes.
the one that can reach out. You're the one that can... give a little bit of time and, you know, send a card, send a note, you use a letter. It doesn't always have to be electronic, but you're the one in the relationship that can make a difference.
Yes.
So just because you've given it a thought, put some action to it.
Yes, exactly. I really appreciate
that. Use the words. Yeah.
Use the words and don't think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have. You know, that's probably one of my, you know, if we can all think about what we don't have. For instance, for us, we don't have kids that all live in our same city. We don't see them that many times a year. I could think about that, but I don't. I think about how thankful I am that I have a phone. I'm thankful that I can, you know, have a conversation once in a while with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for last night. And I'll get a little emotional that my kids invited me into their night. Like, that was precious.
Yeah.
That's emotional for me because it's my, you know, because I'm a mama. What can I say? I'm a mama.
Oh.
So think about what you do know about your kids and be clear with those you love about what you need, but also just what you can give.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks for spending this time with us. And again, what you love is what you value. You know what? And it, you know, whether that be time, whatever it might be, but that value that you place is an expression of your love. And so just value the ones around you. You know, hold them in high regard. One of the key components to a healthy and vibrant relationship, the four components is love, you know, knowledge, understanding, trust. And then the fourth one there is respect and honor. And that tends to be the most neglected in a relationship, but it's one that you can choose to give.
Mm-hmm. Honoring our parents. It's that commandment with a promise, you know, just to honor, you know, the ones that gave birth to you. And anyway, I'm just so
I was trying to wrap this up.
I know. I'm keeping on going.
Yeah.
But anyway, we just want to know that we're praying for you. We're cheering you on. And we know that God is so real for you. Experience his perfect love today and just be amazed at how he meets you. He never ignores you. He's always there and ready for you, and you are never alone.
Absolutely. Just remember, they are the ones that gave birth to you.
Well, it's true.
All right. Have a wonderful
week. You guys love you. Okay, bye-bye. Bye.